Today's pretty good. I'm not delusional. You know, some episodes are even more awesome than others, but today's is pretty good, and we'll start with a strong late night. Hi, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. A judge ruled this week that Donald J. Trump cannot prevent the release of files related to the Capitol attack, saying of Trump that presidents are not kings and plaintiff is not president. Stephen Colbert said, "Damn, I have not seen such a brutal attack on an elected official since January 6th. Let's just go home now." That joke is awesome. Kimmel, the last time Trump got a spanking like that was with a copy of Forbes magazine by Stormy Daniels. All right, maybe we should stay. Colbert, that's the worst denial for the former president since any time he tried to hold his wife's hand. These are good. Kimmel. Now, Trump's legal team is going to have to figure out what to obstruct next. At this point, Trump's lawyers are like, the losingest team in history of any team ever, more than the Clippers, more than the Lions, more than the Washington Generals, and the Globetrotters beat them like 5,000 games in a row. Seth, you think anybody ever took notes in a meeting with Trump? When they finally subpoena those notepads, they're going to be filled with random doodles and inscrutable comments like, ingest bleach, maybe? And there's no way Trump himself ever wrote anything down. He never wrote any of his own books. They were ghostwritten, which I'm sure Trump took literally. I didn't write it. A ghost did. And I was pretty disappointed when I met the ghost. They said, Donald, we're getting you a ghostwriter. And I was hoping for a Slimer or even better, a Patrick Swayze. Switching topics. Stephen Colbert, the NFL fined Aaron Rodgers and the Packers for violating COVID-19 protocols. Now that COVID protocols are being enforced, can we get back to safely enjoying the beautiful game of 300-pound men crushing each other's spines like a sleeve of Ritz crackers? Rodgers attended a Halloween party despite being unvaccinated, for which the NFL fined him $14,650, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's the equivalent of fining an average American $3,380 or one beer at a Packers game. Kimmel said, just to put that in perspective, CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys was fined more than $15,000 for having an untucked jersey. So once again, the league's priorities are in perfect order. Random joke from Conan O'Brien. Great news about Big Bird, but sadly, 30% of Paw Patrol is still unvaxxed. I have a recommendation for you. Listen to the newest episode of Mark Maron's podcast. I listened to it yesterday morning. It is fantastic. The topic is cancel culture, and Maron has a guest who walks us through the history of cancel culture. Comedians have been saying since at least 1903 that they can't say anything anymore, and comedy's just going to die. And he walks through the entire history of it. Maron has some opinions on, you know, your comedy should evolve. He's very open about some things he did in his own routines in the past that he no longer does and why he has adjusted his material. And the whole thing seems to be about a comedian I mention on here a lot. Now, I don't know what's in Maron's heart, but I feel like he's talking about one of those comedians that I've mentioned almost every day for a month now, and yet never says that person's name. So I don't know what's going on there, but I feel like this episode of Maron was a reaction to that. Regardless, an absolute must listen. I shared it in the Facebook group, that's Daily Comedy News Podcast group on your Facebook. Also on Good Pods, I have a list on Good Pods. The list is called Mentioned on Daily Comedy News Podcast. So you could figure out what that list is about. So I mentioned Mark Maron and added it to the list. If you want to follow me on the Good Pods app, I am at Johnny Mac. The trailer for the new season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is out. I also shared that on the Facebook group page, Daily Comedy News Podcast group. After a two-year break, the gang from Patty's Pub returns with a trailer filled with vomit, screaming, and grotesque behavior. Since we last saw them, Frank has spent some time snorkeling on Jeffrey Epstein's island. Uh-oh. Dennis started taking style tips from the QAnon shaman. And Dee has unsurprisingly become one of those Me Too has gone too far types. Mac and Charlie began trying to out-Irish each other. Calm Meany plays Charlie's long-lost relative. And the gang goes to Ireland. Should be a good season. I have been doing a rewatch of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I'm in season one. I'm up to episode 5. And this time around, I'm trying to pay more attention to at what point do we realize the characters are, you know, a little off. My son and I talk about this all the time. And I feel like in the early episodes, and so far through the first 5, I can confirm this, Dennis is the most normal. Oh, he's got some issues. He does some things that I don't agree with, but Dennis is the most normal, and then at some point, we learn he's the most psychotic. 15 seasons in, I think Mac is actually the most normal, but I'll let you know how my rewatch goes. Looking forward to the new season. This next topic pains me. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to, because I'm true to my own heart. From The Hill, Howard Stern, who I'm mentioning for the second time this week, you may remember earlier in the week, Howard went on a tirade about Aaron Rodgers. Well, this time, Howard Stern says he could launch a White House bid in 2024 against former President Trump, quipping that he knows he'll beat his ass. Howard, stop. Howard, man, look, I love you. I listened to every second that I could back in the 80s on K-Rock in New York. When we were coworkers at Sirius, you told me the Raw Dog channel sounded great. It is the best compliment I got in my entire career, and it means the world to me that you, of all people, thought my radio station sounded good. But come on, man. You're not running against Trump. This sounds like an aging DJ screaming for attention, Howard. You're better than that. Plus, here's my bigger problem. You did this bit already. You ran for New York governor. You're not running against Donald Trump. Here, share your tax returns, Howard. Right now, share your tax returns. You're probably not going to, which means you're not running against Trump. So stop. This is ridiculous, man. The Hill says Howard Stern says that running for president could be his civic duty if Trump seeks a second term. Howard said, I would just sit there and play that effing clip of him trying to fix the election over and over again. There's no way I'd lose. Robin Quivers said, if Trump decides to run again, you have to run against him. Howard, I know, I'll beat his ass. Robin, you can't leave it to the Democrats. Again, Howard, I love you, man, but you're not running. This is like, and like, I understand doing a bit, but my point is, you did this bit already. In 1994, you ran for New York governor. You dropped out when the state Supreme Court upheld a requirement that as a political candidate, you would have to disclose your personal finances. Your move, Howard. Moving on. Here it is November already, writes the St. Pete Catalyst, and Kathleen Madigan is thinking of all things about a news item she read back in August. Kathleen Madigan said, I'm still obsessed with the fact that there's a cobra loose in Grand Prairie, Texas, and nobody cares. I can't believe that's just fine with everybody. I'd effing move. I mean, what? According to Kathleen, the guy's in no trouble. How do you not get in trouble for that? If I was president, my first agenda would be exotic animal laws. It's getting out of hand. The owner said, well, it's probably dead. Well, how do you know? No one's found the carcass of a cobra to my knowledge. And speaking of animals, a duck ran the New York City Marathon. If you know me, I like to talk about the time I ran the New York City Marathon. It's 9 years ago now. I need to do it again or shut the hell up. The reason I have been running is I have a torn meniscus and my knee bothers me if I run at length, but I'm out of excuses because the AV Club tells us last Sunday, as runners from around the world arrived in New York City to run the famous marathon, they've been outshined by a duck wearing little red duck shoes. I shared this video as well on the Daily Comedy News Facebook group page. Wrinkle the Duck is a white duck, and you will see the duck running the race with the humans and probably faster than I am. Newsweek believes Wrinkle didn't finish the race as no official time was posted for her online. So I don't know. Bring it, duck. I finished the race 5 hours, 13 minutes. If you can beat that, ducky, bring it on. If you enjoy what I do here, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can throw a couple bucks in the tip jar. Suggested amount, $5. Although, as I've said in the past, if Howard Stern wants to throw $100 million in the tip jar, I'll take your money, Howard, and I'll pay the taxes on it, and I'll share my financials. Your move, Howard. I want to thank Sajibo, who bought me a large iced coffee. I woke up to that yesterday morning as I was writing the show, and I'm like, oh, cool, a large iced coffee. And I had one in my hand. It was a large iced coffee with caramel and milk, but this morning's large iced coffee brought to you by Sajibo. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know how to hit me up. Thank you so much for the large iced coffee. Again, buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Sajibo wrote, England contains exactly one country, England. Thank you for all you do. Now, that comment there is a callback to Trivia Night. If you listen every day, you know my buddy Glenn and I, we go to trivia. And a week ago, we were robbed when the trivia master asked the question, and pay attention to the phrasing, how many countries are there in England? We answered one, England, and the trivia master awarded the points to four, and according to the trivia master, the answer, England, Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland. Now, had the trivia master asked how many countries in the United Kingdom, I would have nailed it. As I nailed the question that was asked, how many countries are there in England? The answer, of course, one, England. But anyway, I moved on. I definitely did not enter our team name this week as England is only one country, because that would have been hostile, and I'm just there to have a beer with Glenn. We did okay this week. We finished in sixth place. Here was the issue. There was an entire round about music, but it was music for like 25-year-olds. And we're sitting there and like, I don't know, Ed Sheeran, Drake, I don't know. Can you ask some questions about, I don't know, the Police or you too? So we only finished in sixth because we had that one bad round. Now, speaking of England being exactly one country, England, today's Daily Comedy News brought to you by Palace Intrigue. I'm the writer on that. It's the podcast about the royal family. And whoa, are you paying attention to this stuff this week? Harry said he told the guy that runs Twitter back in January, hey, there's going to be a coup tomorrow. Why are we only finding out about this in November? And Harry, why didn't you, you know, go on Oprah on January 5th and share this information? What is going on? So on Palace Intrigue, we're getting into all that. Plus, there's this whole sidebar with Meghan Markle and then her brother, Thomas Markle Jr. He's on Big Brother Australia and he likes press. So he says bad things about Meghan every day. Oh, it's so much fun. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your shows. If you enjoy The Crown, you'll enjoy this podcast. Let's see who's at the Really Invisible New York Comedy Festival tonight. Again, I would be recapping the festival. No one writing about this thing. I just think New York is too big. It's a great festival, but it's invisible. I say this every year, and I love those people, but I don't know. The New York Comedy Festival, they sell out the arenas, but there's no buzz on it. You know what I mean? Ronnie Chang, the Hope You Get Rich Tour, is at Town Hall at 7 o'clock. I like this one. It's called The Broadway Beat Presents Act 3. This is at Asylum at 7:30. Ever wonder what happens after the end of your favorite musical? Theater satire site The Broadway Beat knows, and they're going to tell you. Tonight, they're going to feature a performance of the third act of Grease. So what happens after Danny and Sandy go up to the sky in their car? What happens in the third act? By the way, do you believe in the theory that the entire movie is a dream as Sandy slowly drowns? Think about it. The car heading up to heaven at the end is clue enough. Plus, there's a couple angel things, and there's the thing with the white suits and the stairs. Think about it. Did Sandy die in the beginning of that movie? You know she did. Nick Kroll, Middle-Aged Boy Tour, Carnegie Hall, 8 o'clock. My pick, Comics to Watch at The Stand. That's at 10 p.m. Tomorrow, Gary Goldman at Carnegie Hall. Yahoo caught up with them. Yahoo said, hey, Gary Goldman, I was introduced to your material through some of the sets you did on Conan and other late night shows. Seeing your career grow in the last 10 years after you doing so much work is really wonderful. Can you comment a little bit on the past decade? Gary said, that's the best question, because I think about this frequently. I have this list I've been putting together for the last 10 years of artists and performers who did something great late in life, like after turning 50 or 60 or 70, or in some cases 80, and I keep this list to inspire me, but I remember at 40 thinking, oh man, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now, and then I would transition between a woe is me type attitude and then another attitude, which was usually fueled by coffee, where I would say, well, maybe someday I could be that person who made it late. There are a handful of people I would think about, like Rodney Dangerfield, Larry David, Lewis Black, but there just weren't that many and it would really bum me out. But if I had enough coffee, I would say, well, why don't you just keep going and maybe you'll be that person? And in the meantime, this is a really fun way to make a living. That attitude carried me through for a while, and it's interesting because my depressive episode didn't come at my lowest point in my career, at a point in my life where I was lonely or poor or anything like that. It's inexplicable why depression or mental illness decided certain times in your life to attack, and it just hit me when I was otherwise doing fine. From Deadline, John Cleese has pulled out of a scheduled talk at Cambridge University over woke rules. Now, the woke rules saw another speaker blacklisted by the organization, is the phrasing Deadline used, for doing an impersonation of Adolf Hitler. Cambridge University paper Varsity reported that Andrew Graham Dixon, a union speaker, put on a German accent and impersonated Adolf Hitler and used racial slurs during a meeting that was videoed. Later, Graham Dixon said the act was meant to be satirical and was not an endorsement of Hitler or anti-Semitism. What did this guy do? This sounds like it was a disaster. He claimed he had intended to underline the utterly evil nature of Hitler and his regime. Yikes. John Cleese commented on Twitter. He tweeted, I was looking forward to talking to students at the Cambridge Union on Friday, but I hear that someone there has been blacklisted for doing an impersonation of Hitler. I regret that I did the same thing on a Monty Python show, so I am blacklisting myself before someone else does. I apologize to anyone at Cambridge who was hoping to talk with me, but perhaps some of you can find a venture where woke rules do not apply. John Cleese, I'm challenging your premise. I don't think you played Hitler. I believe you played Hilter, who definitely is not Hitler. Hilter was a local British dude who ran for local office and did speeches from a balcony. I saw the sketch. Hey, Dan Aykroyd, what's your impression of comedy today in cancel culture? It's Ghostbusters time. You guys psyched? Who are you going to call? The Hollywood Reporter called Dan Aykroyd. Do you see what I did there? Hilarious, Johnny Mac. Aykroyd said, there's enough range and humor where you don't have to go to scatological and you don't have to go pulling any divisive cards to get a laugh. There's so much in the world to comment on and outside the realm of offensiveness. I agree, Dan Aykroyd. As a writer, you can go to other areas and have successful creative endeavors. Scatological humor is fun. It's easy laughs, but there's more intelligent writing that can happen if you stay away from the offensive material that should be rightly canceled for its hurtfulness. Well, Dan Aykroyd, who can be the subject of an impression today, Dan, that's an area of discussion. Can I do my James Brown imitation? He was one of my best friends. I do his voice pretty good, but maybe I shouldn't anymore. Dan Aykroyd, do you catch Saturday Night Live these days? He said, I try to stay up and watch every week. New cast member James Austin Johnson is outstanding. That's the best Biden I've seen. I watch to see where the trends are going in writing and performing. I met Dan Aykroyd once. He was pretty cool. I will tell that story a different day because this is a 20-minute episode of Daily Comedy News, but I got a lot more to do. Speaking of Saturday Night Live, Billy Crystal will return to Broadway with the new musical comedy Mr. Saturday Night. He'll play Buddy Young Jr. That's a role he played in the original 1992 movie of the same name. Billy said, creating and portraying the 75-year-old comedian Buddy Young Jr. in the film of Mr. Saturday Night was one of the highlights of my career. 30 years ago, I needed 5 hours of makeup to play him. Now I just show up. See, here I have in my notes, and I just skipped a story because we're getting long, but I wrote here, don't bump. What am I not bumping? Savannah Comedy Review's 12th Annual Comic Battle set for November 13th. I gotta do this story now because I already recorded the weekend. WTOC says some up-and-coming comics are ready to bring their A-game to the stage in Savannah. They will face off in the Savannah Comedy Review's 12th Annual Comic Battle. 15 comics will perform their 5-minute sets in front of a live audience and a panel of judges. I used to get asked to judge things and I would always turn it down because I was tired. I had babies and I couldn't stay out till 1 a.m. But now that I'm hanging out in breweries doing trivia, I'll judge a contest if somebody wants to ask. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at McD Radio, at DCN Pod, Facebook group. You guys know how to find me. Not only are there 15 comedians competing up for $1,000 in cash prizes, but it's also an opportunity to advance their careers. Thomas Paris, founder of the Savannah Comedy Review, said it's also their audition. This is a way to bring their originality, bring confidence to the stage presence, and get booked at other clubs. You have casting directors, people who are agents, looking for someone to put in a movie. Do you? Do you really? On Savannah on a Saturday night? Is that where the casting directors and agents are? Yeah. We had somebody before who didn't come in first, second, third, or fourth, but he booked a movie role and got a couple $1,000s. These are up-and-coming comics that you're going to be seeing a lot, and this is their time to shine. So if you're one of those big, high-profile Hollywood agents, get your butt to Savannah, because tomorrow's the comedy battle, 8 o'clock. Tickets are $20, but your industry, they'll probably let you in for free. And let's leave with this from my San Antonio, because it'll put a smile on your face for the weekend. Paul Rodriguez, he's in the new Clifford movie. When he was a kid, his first dog was a black mutt named Beefus who stole his heart. Paul loved Beefus so much that he prayed for him at church as much as he could after the pup was hit by a car and seriously injured. Look, man, do you think I'm going to end the podcast with a dead dog? I'm not that horrible. It'll be okay. Stay with me. Paul Rodriguez said, I kept asking my dad to let me take him to the hospital, but he was like, are you crazy? I don't even have enough money to take you to the hospital. Look, man, I'm definitely not going to end the podcast with a dead dog. I would not do that to you. Luckily, Paul Rodriguez's prayer seemed to work. Beefus lived a long and happy life with little help from his young owner, who made sure his pet was well taken care of. Paul said, I made him a little wheelchair. I took the wheels off this shopping cart. I got him a 2x4 and a pair of underwear and stuck his legs in there. He would drag himself around the house and the yard. That is your comedy news. I didn't realize ending with a dog in a wheelchair. I thought the dog was fine. I got to read these stories more closely. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Google Podcasts. Oh, boy. Normal weekend. I did normal episodes all weekend. I'll see you back here tomorrow.